Good evening, and blessings, and welcome to another installment of the Gist of Freedom Estate. This show is produced by acclaimed historian, educator, and author, Leslie Gist, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African-American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who, with faith and focus, are preserving our rich history through literature, the arts, the skilled trades, and the humanities. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we'd love you to be a part of tonight's discussion by calling in with your comments or questions to 347-324-5552.
This is Ewell Anderson with the African American Future Society, and tonight we have a special guest from Sierra Leone, Mr. Hindawas. And Hindawa, can you tell us a little bit about your organization and what's going on in Sierra Leone on the ground?
Yeah, thank you very much. I am Hindawa Emmanuel Saidu, Executive Director of Foundation for Democratic Initiatives and Development. This is a local non-governmental organization in Sierra Leone. We work in communities within Sierra Leone, especially with street kids and the youths, you know, that are vulnerable. We work to make those youths better and stronger leaders. But for the past couple of months now, because of the outbreak of Ebola in Sierra Leone, we have been concentrating because these youths are not covered. I mean by this, nobody is looking after them. They are vulnerable. They are left in the cold. And, you know, they stand the risk of having Ebola. Most children, even homes, now are being offered by Ebola because their parents have been killed and nobody is stepping in to take care of them. So these children now are in the streets, and nobody knows, you know, they are vulnerable and they can contract the Ebola. So we are working in different communities across Sierra Leone to sensitize them, basically to tell them about dangers, you know, and the and how contagious this virus is. And we have done this for some time and will continue to do it, even as the Ebola is not, you know, we have not got it at all. It's outpacing, you know, the venture to stop it. It's spreading like bushfire in the Harmattan. So definitely Ebola is very serious in Sierra Leone and the other countries, neighboring Guinea and Liberia, and it has claimed well over 600,000 lives, you know, including women and children in Sierra Leone. So it is a very serious and contagious virus, and we are all stepping up as a country to make sure that we stand to it. Otherwise, it will be detrimental to the population, of Sierra Leone.
Yes, and for those people that don't know about Sierra Leone, can you tell us about roughly how many people live there and what are the areas that you're working in?
Yes, well, basically, Sierra Leone is a tiny West African state. It's between, it's on the west coast of Africa, bordered by the Republic of Guinea and Liberia. And we have about 6 million people. Most of them are women, and they are Christians and Muslims in the country. But this is about the poorest country in the world, according to the United Nations Development Index. And so we are not like ready, you know, we are not prepared to face this kind of thing. Our health system was not good, and definitely that is why you can see like the thing is spreading, because if we are like strong, like other countries in the region, like Republic of Nigeria and Senegal, this contagious virus, you know, crept into Nigeria, but they quickly have to deal with it, and Senegal as well. So as I speak, there is no Ebola, you know, according to WHO, in the Republic of Nigeria and Senegal. But because we are poor and vulnerable, like our neighbors, the Republic of Guinea and Liberia, and our people, most of our people are illiterate. So definitely, you know, it was difficult to pass on the message because people did not believe. You know, we are like telling people, don't eat bush meat because this virus, you know, can be transmitted by primates, you know, like monkeys or the fruit bats. So, don't eat the bush meat because we believe that if these monkeys eat on mangoes, fruits like mangoes, you know, or apples, and you eat those mangoes, I mean, you can be infected. This is what the medical people are saying, scientifically. But definitely they were like, no, our forefathers, we are eating mangoes, we are eating bush meat. How can you come and limit us now? We don't believe that this is true. So definitely, you know, it was like people got this denying factor. That was a key factor, you know, for the spread of this thing. And definitely, you know, we have boots on the ground from the British government. We have troops now on the ground, and we have some people from Cuba, nurses and doctors. We have people again from the Chinese government, and we have a lot of, you know, epicenters, where people who have the virus can be brought into and quarantined. So it is really difficult. We have 12 political or administrative districts, and we have 11 of these districts affected. In fact, today somebody sent a message to me that the only district that was not affected by Ebola has recorded 2 new cases of Ebola. So that means Sierra Leone is now dealing with Ebola in every community, you know, of the country. And my organization is working in about 17 communities across the country, you know, basically by sending messages, using public address systems like microphones to pass on message in our local dialect so that our people understand. And we use community radios where, you know, we use their, you know, the local dialect of that particular community to engage them. We have radio jingles that play on the radios, you know, because people do listen to radios, even illiterates. So these are the areas that we are using to penetrate, because we used to talk to them. We used to bring the community together and talk to them, but now it is difficult, you know, because you can never know. You don't know who is affected. So we decline. We stop bringing people together in a focus group discussion. Now instead, we use public address systems and the community radios to pass on our messages.
Yes, and also Hindawis, you got started by doing the drug awareness campaign, and you're helping educate the young people to not abuse drugs. Could you tell us about the conference you're here to attend in Maryland, and about the work about the drug use and prevention programs?
Yeah, like I told you, we work with youth, and definitely we had a decade long of civil war, wherein the youth, you know, we are forced, you know, sort of into the fighting forces, even the military, the rebels, and then there is one traditional group they call the Kamajos, who are like local hunters, militias, of which I was a member. You know, I mean, I was conscripted by force. By then I was in university, because they were like, you are forced to support or to defend your area as a male youth. So what happened is most of the youth in this war had to begin to take hard drugs. They were given hard drugs so that they will have, you know, they will not have conscience. They will just take the gun and go to the front. When they're on drugs, they don't think correctly, and they use them correctly to advance. And so the youth in that country have been dependent on drugs, especially marijuana, and people also misuse cocaine. Although it is expensive, it's hard to see, and heroin, you know. So definitely, I decided to form this organization with three of my guys, and then, you know, we started going to communities to tell them that drug was bad, because we are losing so many youth, you know, and the government was not doing much, you know, to combat hard drugs in the country. And that we are like talking to youth, especially the vulnerable streets, affected children and the youth, to talk, you know, to tell them that they should turn their back against drugs, you know. And then we started going to schools, because we thought that once they're in school, if you target them, definitely, you know, they are enlightened, because they come to school so that they can be able to talk to the youth, you know, the off school youth, the ones that are on the streets. So we have done those campaigns. You know, we got some money from the American embassy some time ago in Sierra Leone, and few organizations, you know, to roll out our community drug programs. But because of Ebola, it's like we have turned, there's a shift, you know, because I'm sure Ebola is very serious, and we have to put all hands on deck to make sure that we eradicate this deadly virus completely from our borders.
Yes. Okay. So since you've been here, I've developed a website for you to help those here in the United States to provide you with aid and assistance. And people can find you on yul690.wix.com/FDIDLS. And again, that's yul690.wix.com/FDIDLS. Now, Hindawas, could you talk about the fishing villages and how you have a program with the African American Future Society to try to provide fishing nets and fishing supplies to the villagers to help them gather food? Because, as you mentioned, they don't want to eat the bush meat for fear of contamination.
Yes. Well, basically, that is a program between Foundation and Democratic Initiatives and the Future, the Black American Future organization. We are basically trying to target those communities along the coastal line wherein the people are poor, again, as vulnerable. I don't like using vulnerable, but that is the apt word, you know, to describe my people. Like I told you, Sierra Leone is one of the poorest, if not the poorest country in the world. And people, we have natural resources, but people cannot tap because of poverty and the mismanagement by successive governments. So our people are out there, they are fishing, but foreign people come, you know, from other countries to come and fish and take the fish to other countries to sell. And we are there, you know, people are not eating. So your organization has, you know, you saw it fit that will help those people with fishing nets and lines so that, I mean, they can be able to fish and eat some and perhaps sell, so that they'll have money to do all that stuff, like sending their children to school, because most children, especially that child in that part of the world, do not go to school because of poverty, you know, so it's difficult. So now that we do not eat bush meat, that's been a pronouncement by the government, and then we are sure, yeah, people are trying to abide by it, but there is no problem with the fish. I'm sure if we have those nets and roll them out to our people there in the coastal lines, you know, it will be a good help to those people in the fishing communities across our region.
Yes, and again for the health and prevention for Ebola, what do you think we could send you to help you take back to Sierra Leone to help with the prevention?
I'm sure the things that will be fine for our community people to help, because basically, Ebola do not have any cure. You know, it's 50-50%, you know, chance. You might die, you might not die, because there are people actually who are coming out of the quarantine places, you know, the holding centers. I mean, they walk out free from Ebola. But medical practitioners have told us that there is no medicine for Ebola. So the best form, you know, to fight Ebola is the prevention form. So I think communities across Sierra Leone will most humbly would like disinfectants, you know, and hand sanitizers, and perhaps food. Because, like I told you, people are poor. Now, it's like the government is grounded. Nobody goes around. Nobody comes in. You know, it's difficult. This thing has a large impact, you know, on our economic and social activities. So people are very poor, you know. So I'm sure if we have hand sanitizers, disinfectants, and some food for our quarantine families, you know, and the vulnerable street kids and youth, I think that would be a help to that mission.
Okay, and Hindawas, and lastly, you experienced a terrible civil war when you was in Sierra Leone, and you had to be forced to be part of the boy soldiers there in that country. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and your plans to write a book?
Yes, I was conscripted in so civil civil defense militia, and because I went to my village, I was running away from the attacks from the city where I lived. That's the second capital city in Sierra Leone, Bou. I went to a village where my grandmom is out about 14 miles away from Bou, and I had to run into these guys. So forcefully, I was initiated in the stuff, because you have to run an initiation ceremony, which was, I was against. But by then, if I had said no, they were going to kill me. I was initiated, and I was given a gun to join one of the fighting rings in Sierra Leone. It was not really easy. It was very difficult with me, because those years, you know, fighting as a boy soldier in the ranks, and wherein you are given drugs forcefully, you know, and sending you to the front to either fight the rebels. At the time, they fell out with the Sierra Leone army, and that they were fighting two wars, fighting the rebels one front and fighting against the Sierra Leone army on the other front. So those were dark days in the country. So I am sure, you know, I have a lot of experience. I want to put that one together to write a memoir, you know, about my memories as a child combatant.
Yes, yes, $100. Well, again, I don't know if we have any callers on the line. We can leave the line open for about, 4 minutes or so. And then if not, Hendawis, I want to thank you very much for taking this time. I want to thank the listeners. Again, the name of the organization is called the Foundation for Democratic Initiatives and Development. It's in Sierra Leone. You're speaking to the executive director, Hendawis Sadu. We're here on Leslie Gist's kind invitation to talk to you on her blog radio station, and we're hoping that the listeners would appeal and give generously to the cause and to the people of Sierra Leone, and we want to thank you. Are there any callers on the line?
On this edition of The Gist of Freedom, we are going to be exploring and talking about a topic that has been in the news, not just in Africa or in the United States, but around the country, really, and that is the Ebola outbreak. The title of this show is the Ebola or Ebolai outbreak with Sierra Leonean Hendawis Sadu. We're waiting for him to come on the line. But while he's doing that, I want to really share the overwhelming sentiment that has been expressed around the country regarding Ebola. We know that it is a disease that has really plagued West Africa, especially Sierra Leone. And there have been people who have had conflicting reports publicly about what Ebola is, how it can be contracted, whether or not it's something that can be widespread. I was just reading an article today, and different experts were giving various opinions on whether or not it could be spread and how it could be spread, similar to AIDS, whether or not you need to have liquid-to-liquid contact, or if you get it. There are so many different people who have so many questions about it. And I think the incident in the hospital in Texas really exacerbated that conversation, because we had a person who came from West Africa who had the Ebola virus and died shortly after receiving care in that hospital in Texas. And then afterwards, nurses at that Texas hospital who were providing what we thought was top-notch care in terms of the protection ended up contracting Ebola. And so we don't know if those nurses had contact with him in terms of fluid-to-fluid contact, or if this was another airborne type disease. There are so many different questions and so many people who have instances that they want to clear up. Then there was the journalist, the health specialist, Dr. Nancy Schneiderman, who came in contact with that individual who had Ebola. And then she was put in the quarantine, and then she broke that quarantine with her and the cameraman that she was working with. And then there were all of these questions about whether or not she put people at risk, because she, in effect, defied the quarantine order and then had to release a public statement apologizing that she, in fact, breached the quarantine instead of being confined to her home in New Jersey. So all of these things are swirling at the same time, and people are running frantic. So we're going to bring someone with you to you who has a real expertise in what's going on with the Ebola disease. He was from Sierra Leone. He has witnessed and seen what has been going on there. He knows people from Sierra Leone, and so we're really looking forward to having him come on and talk about what he's going to be sharing with us on there in Sierra Leone. The outbreak that has been described by the World Health Organization said that on Thursday, the WHO, that is the World Health Organization, said that more than 1,900 people have died in West Africa because of this Ebola outbreak. There have been 3,500 confirmed probable cases in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, both in Africa. And more than 40% of those that have died have occurred in the last 3 weeks. This is just the last 3 weeks of this statement being released. The World Health Organization said that they suggested that the epidemic is fast outpacing the effort to control it. In spite of all of these developments that's going on in Sierra Leone, it's still in a state of flux with all of the time and efforts that people are taking to worry about the issues that are being plagued. People are still trying within the health organization to figure out a remedy to this outbreak. I don't know if there's a vaccine. I don't know if there's something that can be given to those who've been affected by it. But people are trying their best to come up with the solutions, and people aren't afraid. We saw that President Obama was still recognizing how serious it was. He had campaign stops for Democrats down in Connecticut and other states on the east, and the White House announced that he had canceled his meetings campaigning for certain vulnerable Democrats to address the Ebola outbreak and get someone down there to his office to explain what was going on to make sure that it was contained and that this would not become a widespread incident. So I want to bring in Hindawa Saidu, who is really leading the effort as best as he can to help deal with the situation. Hindawa, I want you to talk about your experience from Sierra Leone, and your experience with Ebola specifically.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, basically, when Ebola started, you know, communities did not know how dangerous and communicable this outbreak was, and they were treating its victims with medications for common fever. But when families and community members started dying en masse, with the persistent sensitization from civil society organizations and the health ministry, they now started reporting illnesses of that nature to the health authorities in Freetown, that is Sierra Leone, the capital. By then, the virus had spread like a bushfire in other parts of the country. And as I speak to you, Sierra Leone has lost well over 600,000 people. And Ebola, as I speak to you, is now in 11 of the 12 political or administrative districts of Sierra Leone. And definitely, most communities are quarantined, and that means people do not enter or go out of those communities. And most of the people there are facing shortages of water and food. So it's a real difficulty. People are suffering with hunger, and they are also suffering because they are fighting the Ebola. So definitely, as I speak to you, Sierra Leone, 11 districts out of 12 are quarantined. Nobody will enter some areas, in the capital city of Freetown, and nobody goes out at all except for health officials. So it's a serious crisis. And I think the world should take it very seriously because we never know. Now we've seen Ebola in the past weeks in America, and therefore I think this is the crown call. It's the crown call to the American people and the international community that we should not isolate West Africa, because I'm not sure this is our making. We should go there and make sure they help us so that we'll contain it in that locality so that Ebola will not spread to different parts of the world.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar, what is Ebola?
Basically, Ebola virus disease is a hemorrhagic fever of humans and other primates. It's caused by the Ebola virus. Medical practitioners say symptoms start 2 days or 3 weeks after contacting the virus, with a fever, sore throats, muscle pain, headache, typically vomiting, diarrhea, rash follows along, and most times decreased functions of the liver and the kidney, experts say.
Mm-hmm. And how does one contract it?
Definitely, Ebola is contacted by contacting people, like by shaking hands, touching their sweat. You know, if they like bodily fluid, if they like vomiting, if you touch the vomit or you sleep with people. If I have Ebola, for instance, God forbid, and then we come in contact, definitely the Ebola, you know, is going to spread onto you. That is why, like I told you earlier on, it is spreading like wildfire, you know, in the Harmattan, because, you know, it's spread out by human contact, because it is in the fluid. You know, like vomiting, like, you know, stool, urine, or whatever. You know, if the person that is infected with Ebola passed that one out, and you get in contact with that one, definitely you're going to be infected with Ebola virus.
Yeah. Is there a cure for this?
No. Well, the health people are saying there is no cure for Ebola. Once you contact it, definitely, it's like it takes the grace of God, but, you know, because people have been like, we have survivors, you know, but there is no cure for Ebola. So definitely, the only thing that we are telling the communities is, you know, we are going into the communities with sensitization messages to tell them you have to avoid, you have to keep off, don't go near people, don't greet people, because in Africa we are like, we like to greet, you know, that's like accustomed to us. But now we are telling people, don't greet, you have to stay off, you know, don't go into the crowd, don't make sure that somebody else sweat and touch you, you know, and don't go near bodily fluids, you know, from people. So definitely, that is it. It's just like giving out the sensitization so that people will keep the prevention. But definitely, there is no cure for Ebola. Once you contact Ebola, the next thing is, you have to die.
So the nurses in Texas who contracted Ebola from that patient who died, you're saying that they're going to die?
Well, I am not saying that. Like I told you, there are survivors in Africa. People are surviving. It takes the grace of God, because, you know, it makes you dehydrate and they give you water and antibiotics. It's possible you will be lucky and you will win. And, you know, you win the race of life. You come back to life. But, you know, it's like 9 out of 10 chances. It's highly likely, you know, that they will not survive. It's highly likely that they will survive. Once you've contacted the Ebola virus, definitely, scientifically, it has been proven that there's no medicine. They've not got any vaccine for it. They've not got any medication for it. But, you know, people are going out of Ebola. People are defeating Ebola. So I am not saying they will die. Definitely, they might not die. But what I want to say emphatically here on this radio is that once you contact Ebola, there is no medication for it.
Yeah. So what are the things that the government can do to assist with making sure that this is not an outbreak?
Definitely. Like we are using this radio, I'm sure this radio cuts across, you know, the airwaves. People will listen and they'll know. Definitely, they have to, like, make sure that they send the prevention messages out there to people, to make sure that people, you know, have the message, you know, that they, you know, if you have, like, fever, you have to go to the nearest hospital and they will run all the tests. You know, you don't have to stay home, say, well, I think this is common fever, I will treat it. No. If you have fever and then, you know, you have, like, headache and you're, like, vomiting, you know, you have diarrhea, you have to run to the nearest hospital so that they will run the test to know that you are not Ebola, you know, you're not Ebola infected, you are free. So definitely, I am sure all they will do is run these messages on radio and television stations so that people hear loud and clear that there is no cure for Ebola, and the only remedy is to make sure you prevent yourself.
Yeah. So how, as the community, as the public, how can we protect ourselves? What are the things that we can do to help your cause?
Yeah, make sure you wash your hand clean. Make sure you don't greet people. Make sure you don't have bodily fluid from people. When you come back to your house, you have to wash your hand. You know, like what to do now in Sierra Leone is we have like chlorine, you know, disinfectants who come into our houses, will take our dresses out, you know, at the door. We have to wash our feet, our hands with the chlorine before we enter our houses. And even in public vehicles, you know, you have to sit far away from people. Don't make sure, you know, you have to make sure that you don't interact. Your body do not interact. You don't mingle. You don't touch people. In Africa, like I told you earlier on this program, we greet, you know, we use our hands to greet, we hug our people, to show respect, to show love. But now we have to desist to fight Ebola, because we know that you don't know. You know, Ebola is a secret enemy. It's not like somebody's coming with a gun like ISIS to fire you. You see the man coming with the gun, you hear the bullet. You don't know who carry the symptoms. You don't know who have the Ebola. So you have to stay off, you know, with all due respect. You still greet people by waving hands and don't, you know, not coming close to people, not be in contact with people.
That's great. So are there any home remedies that people are using in Africa? Is the health situation there, the technology health situation, appropriate?
Not quite. You know, when it all started, community people did not know how dangerous and communicable this outbreak was. And they were treating its victims with medications, you know, for common fever. But when families and communities members started dying en masse, you know, we have now to run to the health centers, we have to run to the hospitals to make sure, you know, because it was like killing people. We are losing people. So now we knew that, I mean, the traditional practices weren't helping us. So we have to come back to this Western medication, even though, you know, research has proven that there is no vaccine, there is no medication. So, but we still run to the hospitals. We talk to the people. You know, if your family member or your community member is running fever, you know, you see him vomiting or diarrhea, you have to go to the hospital. You know, report that person so people come pick him up and take him to the quarantine center. So that's it. We are using the Western medication because that is what is, you know, it's just 50-50. You might die, you might not die. But the traditional African practices have failed us because Ebola did not succumb to that one.
Yeah. And what's your background and expertise in the health field?
Basically, I'm not a health worker. I am a social worker. I head a civil society organization, a non-governmental organization that is called Foundation for Democratic Initiatives and Development. So what to do is to go to the people, we sensitize them, we tell them what to do. If you have somebody that is infected, take them to the hospital, don't skip them, the earlier the better, and stuff like that. So we are operating in 21 communities across Sierra Leone. And we use radio talk shows, we use communities, and we use them like PR system in the communities. We take public address system, and we talk to the people in our local languages. Tell them that Ebola is dangerous, Ebola is communicable, Ebola does not respect anybody, you know. So definitely, if anybody in the community, in your family, is sick with fever or all of the symptoms that I've highlighted, you need to rush to the nearest hospital.
Yeah, and how does someone know that they have Ebola as opposed to just the fever?
Yeah, like I told you, it's just that you have muscle pains, headaches, you have fever, sometimes there is sore throat, vomiting, you have some kind of rash on your skin or diarrhea. So to all of these symptoms, definitely, or any one of these symptoms, you need to rush to the nearest hospital.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a website promoting your work? Are you looking for people to donate? How can people help what you're doing?
We had a website before I came to America, but the website was like here. Somebody was using, somebody built it for us and was keeping it for us. But it was difficult to reach the person to pay because we were supposed to pay, you know, annually. You know, but when we had this Ebola outbreak, I was trying to reach the individual, but it was difficult. So definitely, as I speak to you, it is down. But we have our email address, and we have our contacts. I have my contact number back home, and I have a number here because I came here on a conference, and I'll be back in Sierra Leone in 1 month's time.
Are you afraid that if you go back to Sierra Leone that you may catch Ebola yourself?
Yes, because medical doctors, they are, you know, people who are experts, people who are trained medical people have got Ebola, they have died. We have lost over 100 nurses and about 4 medical doctors to Ebola now. So, yes, it's possible because, like I told you, there is no cure. Once you catch it, it's possible you might die. You know, it's a 50-50 kind of situation. So, yes, definitely, if you are going to the community, you don't know who is infected.
All right, so I think we might have lost Mr. Sadai, but I think the general consensus is you really don't have that much to fear. I think if you are concerned, then go and get treated and get helped. And here at the Gifts of Freedom, we will do everything we can to make sure that you get all the knowledge and information you can possibly get. Thank you and have a great night.